At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Classes in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
This is The Handle with Matt Brown and Mike Somich on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Saturday edition of The Handle here on DraftKings Network and VSiN. Matt Brown, Mike Somich coming to you as always, proudly brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook. And we talked about it for months, Mike. We talked about the NFL draft. It came, it went, it kicked me in the teeth. We will talk about that a little bit later as we progress. Lots of thoughts on everything that came out of Thursday and even some Friday thoughts as well. Of course, the draft will get wrapped up today with the late round stuff. And of course, we continue to progress over in the NBA playoffs, the NHL playoffs. We got a lot going on. We are just a week away from the Kentucky Derby. So while it seems like this should be a boring time of year in the sports world, Mike, it is anything but.
Yeah, absolutely action-packed. I mean, we got a couple big-time playoff games today in the NHL, a couple big-time playoff games in the NBA. The Derby draw is today, Matt, so right around 4 o'clock Pacific, 7 o'clock Eastern. We're going to find out what post positions each of these horses have and who's officially in the field so we can start our handicapping. It's a huge factor when looking at the Kentucky Derby as well. Certain posts have massive advantages in that race.
Yeah, it is. Listen, I'm not gonna lie. It is the one race I get amped for every year, and then it goes down from there. But hey, if anybody out there only bets one race a year, Mike, you know this. You've been in the business a long time. If anyone is only betting one horse race, that one horse race is just a week away.
Oh, yeah. This is easily the most bet horse race. You've got the Derby parties. Everyone wants to come out, have a good time, enjoy it. And you've got 20 horses in the field. So a massive opportunity from a money making perspective, because any exacta is going to pay. Your favorite's going to be 3-1. You're going to be able to get money off that. And then there's the $1 Derby superfecta, which has averaged over $10,000 in payout over the last 10 years. So a lot of opportunities to make some money. And it's an event. It's the one event in horse racing where everybody tunes in.
If people were watching the NBA last night, you saw a massive performance out of Chris Middleton and it not be enough for the Bucks. The Pacers were able to pull that one out. And Mike, you start to look at this Bucks team whenever Giannis isn't in there. And even when you get a monster Middleton performance, and he was really, really good in this game, still couldn't figure out a way to steal one on the road from the Indiana Pacers. And now you sit here and you look at this and you start to question, you really do have to wonder, if we're looking at a Bucks team, despite the fact that they have Damian Lillard, who, by the way, might have re-aggravated injury on his end as well. Like, there's a lot of stuff going on with all of that. And so you start to wonder if this is in the end of the line for this Bucks squad.
I don't think you really have to start to wonder. I think you wonder how many games it's going to take for the Pacers to knock them out at this point. And the problem for them without Giannis is this bench. They only have 6 bench points last night compared to a 28 bench point performance from the Pacers. And when you look down the lineup, and you realize it's really 5 guys that are doing it right now for the Bucks. It's Portis, it's Middleton, it's Lopez, it's Beverly, it's Lillard. That lineup doesn't scare you, not one bit. It's an older lineup, slower lineup. They have trouble defending this Pacers team. Talked about Pacers -1.5 coming into this, Pacers in 6 +380 coming into this series. Both of those looking good now, especially if the Pacers can take game 4 at home.
Pacers -425 on the series price there. You watch this Clipper squad and I don't get it. They're there's a lot of good players on this team, and it just, you watch, and there are 5 minute, 6 minute spurts where it looks like they're one of the worst teams in the NBA. I don't understand how this is possible. And you see last night, Luka Doncic looks like he maybe was getting hurt. He comes back in the game. That was probably an opportunity where people were sitting there going like, oh, wow, if there was any way that the Mavericks are going to find a way to lose, it would be if Luka goes out. He ends up coming back in despite the fact that he was like reaching for that knee of his. And they get it done as well. And you look with a pretty convincing, I think the score really isn't even indicative of kind of how that game went. I know it was an 11-point victory for the Mavs. They cover the 5 that this thing went off at. But, man, I it felt like it was more than 11, didn't it?
It really did. And you watch the game, and we talked about Harden. He has a really good playoff game, but no one else can step up for this Clippers team. Kawhi ends up putting up just 9. He looks like that knee is not anywhere close to healthy. Paul George disappeared in another playoff game. I assume no one's shocked by that because that's kind of what he does. And you look through the box score, and it's surprising they lost by 11 if you just surely look at it, because they have more free throws made, more attempted, better shooting percentage from 3, better shooting percentage from the field. But they turned the ball over 19 times and got absolutely nothing from George, Westbrook, or Kawhi. With Luka playing like that and going in and out of the game, being injured, this felt like a game the Clippers absolutely had to have when they shot the ball better than the Mavericks. And yet, it really wasn't even that close. Just a brutal loss for the Clippers. They have to take game 4 in Dallas. I don't see how they're going to be able to do that, especially if you have the performances you saw from Kawhi and Paul George again. To me, this Clippers team is just on borrowed time at this point. And the Mavs, again, another series bet we had, -110 on the Mavs, looks pretty good.
You head over to DraftKings Sportsbook, you look at these series odds, and you will find -2,000 next to the Minnesota Timberwolves over the Phoenix Suns. Mike, are the Suns the biggest disappointment in the NBA this season? You look, 3 monster players on this team. I understand there were injury things, but that still can lead to disappointment. In my opinion, probably the most disappointing team in the NBA this year.
I think we have to wait to see what Boston does the rest of the first round before we can give them that crown. But this is a Suns team, even coming into the playoffs. They were slight favorites in this series against the Timberwolves. They went 5-0 in the regular season against the Timberwolves. They haven't shown up in any of these playoff games. They're just not playing very good basketball, not able to get it going. And we've seen Anthony Edwards just take that step forward. We talked about it going into this series. What is he going to be able to do, and what are they going to get out of Karl Anthony Towns? So far, Anthony Edwards has stepped up when the lights have gotten brighter, which is something I think we expected after what we saw with Team USA this summer. And Towns has been good enough to keep this team trucking along. But yeah, if you're Phoenix, like, what do you even think about this team next year? What do you do to be able to revamp and try and compete? You've got Durant, you've got Booker, you can't trust Beal. You don't really have any room to maneuver because of these contracts you've given out. This is a really disappointing series for the Suns.
Each and every show, we have 5 things we're looking forward to betting today.
Number 1.
All right, so NFL draft, we're going to talk a ton of what that looks like now. Did it change our opinions on any of these teams? Of course, new markets now have shown up out there as well, Mike. And listen, it's one of those I said at the top of the show. I had 4 great years of betting the NFL draft. It came down to the last pick of the first round. Last pick of the first round didn't go my way, and a big loser for me this year. It's a different feeling. It doesn't feel great. It doesn't feel good to not win a good amount of money on the NFL draft, but it was, it got wacky early. Of course, we will talk about everything that, you know, we think was a little bit, you know, odd, but of course the number 8 pick is just the thing that everyone's been talking about, rightfully so.
Yeah, I mean, we're obviously going to talk about Penix. Yeah. We'll talk about Bo Nix. I want to talk about the betting aspect of this, though, before we jump into the actual takes on how we're going to move forward off this draft. Look, information is not as prevalent as it was 3 years ago, 2 years ago. Last year and this year, we have seen teams be more and more tight-lipped with who's getting picked. You assume that's coming from the NFL. I remember 3-4 years ago when I would be 98% certain on 3 or 4 of the first round picks because of information you get from your gambling circle. That doesn't exist anymore. There's only 4 or 5 people inside the rooms that know who's going to get taken, and they're not leaking out that information. And we saw bookmakers come on yesterday all over VSiN saying, yeah, we had a profitable draft for the first time ever. Like, it is getting more and more difficult to be able to bet these drafts because we are getting less and less actionable information from sources inside the teams because they're becoming so much more tight-lipped.
Let's keep it going.
Number two.
NBA playoffs continue on, guys. Of course, we talked about what we saw yesterday. We have games that we will be previewing today. Mike and I have bets on a couple of the different games that are going on. Looking at this Cavs Magic series, though, Mike, this is a very interesting one where you and I both had leans towards the Magic. They get really kind of handled by the Cavs early on. Then it looks like, we get this Magic team that kind of came in and played a little bit better defense. Now, I think that it was an anomaly with them scoring 120 points or whatever, but that's neither here nor there. We're looking at a 3-1 plus 300 now on the Magic to win this series. They still alive?
I think they're still alive. I mean, I bet them plus 165 before the series started. I still have faith that they can take care of business at home. You mentioned the 120 points. That is 100% an anomaly. They shot very well from the three-point range. They do shoot better at home, so you'd expect that they're going to play well in game 4 and game 6. The defense needs to step it up, and they need to figure out a way to get a game in Cleveland. And if they can do that, they are 100% live in this series. Everyone always says series doesn't start until someone wins a road game. I'm not sure the series is ever going to start before it's over at this point, because it feels like the home team is going to be able to dominate throughout this process.
Keep going.
Number three.
NHL playoffs continue on. Of course, we will have our Hockey and Horses segment as we progress with the show, but we do have four different games today. Mike, one coming to you in about 2 hours, but you're looking at the Bruins and Leafs.
Yeah, this is a monster game. I'm excited to bet this one. I have a big number that I like. We'll talk about in the Hockey and Horses section, but this is a Maple Leafs team that kind of got the monkey off their back. They had not won a playoff series since 2016, 2017, able to win one last year, losing the second round to the Panthers. Now, all of a sudden, all the pressure in the world back on them in this spot, down 2-1 at Boston, have to defend home ice here. They can't go down 3-1, headed back to Boston. It's going to be a monster game. And then we've got a game in Las Vegas. The Dallas Stars, who were the best team in the West the entire regular season, facing a 2-0 deficit, have to go on the road. Absolute must-win game 3 for Dallas tonight as well. Two phenomenal games that we got to look forward to.
Keep it rolling.
Number four.
The second part of that is the horses part. We have the hockey part. We have the horses part that is coming as well. We're going to head to Gulfstream.
We are going to head to Gulfstream. And today, we have a mandatory pick 6 payout. What does that mean? There's a bunch of money in the pool. That's just dead money that you get to try and take down yourself. It's a 20-cent denomination. The pool is expected to be over $3 million for picking 6 straight winners with a 20-cent denomination. We're going to talk about 2 of those races from that sequence a little bit later in the show.
And let's wrap it up.
Number 5.
We're going to look at these NFL Rookie of the Year markets, Offensive Rookie of the Year, Defensive Rookie of the Year. We know this is a market that typically goes to a quarterback. Well, we did have 6 different quarterbacks go in the first round, so there's a lot of different candidates here. We'll talk through all of those, see if there's anybody outside of the quarterback position that we think even has a remote chance of taking this thing down, Mike. But, you know, listen, the draft markets go down. We get some more markets popping up over there on DraftKings.
It's the beauty of the NFL. You can just bet something all year long. We're talking about some division winners that we like based off of this draft. Talk about some of the winners and losers and how that's going to affect Super Bowl odds, division odds, win totals, everything.
Speaking of the NFL draft, it has started. Day 3 has gotten underway over there. They'll be wrapping that up today as well. When we come back, our reactions to the NFL draft.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
The 2024 presidential campaign features 2 candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from the Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow the Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
This is Colin Cowherd from The Herd with Colin Cowherd. Angie's List is now Angie, the nation's largest home service marketplace. They're here to help homeowners get all their jobs done well. Angie has helped over 150 million homeowners care for their homes. Whatever your home project, big, small, indoor, outdoor, come to Angie to connect with and hire skilled pros to get the job done well.
Listen, I've got a couple of things in the bathroom in my house. Got to get it fixed. I don't have time, and I'm not good at it. Angie is.
In just a few taps in the Angie app or clicks on the site, you can have Angie tackle your home service projects start to finish. With over 200,000 pros in their network, Angie makes it easy to research, compare, and hire pros to ensure a job done well. With 29 years of experience combined with new digital tools to simplify the process, Angie makes completing home projects really easy. Renters, you can use Angie too for moving, installations, or cleaning. Angie can even help with extremely specific projects. Just tell them what you need, and Angie will find the right solution for you. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com. Or download the app today.
This is The Handle with Matt Brown and Mike Sumich on VSIN, the sports betting network.
If you have not already, you should head to VSIN.com. Check out that new website. You can do it on your computer. You can do it on your phone. And if you do it on your phone, guess what? We optimized it for mobile as well. You're going to get everything you have grown to love about VSiN.com just in a shinier new package over there. You get the splits, you get the articles, you get the odds, you get the tools, the guides, all of that stuff over at VSiN.com, VSIN.com. Matt Brown, Mike Sumich coming to you here with a handle. On a Saturday, the NFL draft was not kind to me, Mike. Came down to the very last pick of the first round. It goes offensive lineman. I win all the money. It goes wide receiver. I lose all the money. And that's what happened. The Panthers trade back in to the 32nd pick. I thought I was going to dodge a bullet. When it was the Bills, I was like, I'm setting up to lose this thing. Then they trade back in. I'm like, okay, great. They just traded for Deontay Johnson. They still have Adam Thielen. They still have Mingo. We're good here. Maybe I don't win the offensive lineman bet. Maybe they don't take an offensive lineman, but at least I'm going to win the wide receiver bet. No, then they take a wide receiver there. Seven wide receivers go in round one. And with that, my first losing draft in 5 years. But like we said at the top of the show, the real story coming out of the draft was chalk, 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 chalk. What in the hell are the Falcons doing? That is basically how this went. Me and you are texting back and forth going like, oh man, if this keeps up, we are going to destroy this draft. Like everything was going exactly like we had planned. And then the number eight pick, they walked to the podium and the Atlanta Falcons, who had just signed Kirk Cousins this offseason to $100 million guaranteed contract, pick Michael Penix at the number eight pick. And in their defense, Mike, the GM says if he sits for 4 or 5 years, that's a good thing because that means we're getting high level out of the position. I would beg to differ.
Yeah, I mean, you don't really want to sit your eighth overall pick for 4 to 5 years, especially when you're trying to win Super Bowls now. And they're trying to tiptoe that line where they have the quarterback of now and the quarterback of the future on the roster. I understand what you're trying to do there. I'm not sure if you really want to draft a 24-year-old as a quarterback of the future if he's going to sit for 4 to 5 years. I mean, if he takes his first snap at 29 in the NFL, probably not a good use of the draft capital there sitting at number eight. I will say, to me, this is not – I mean, okay, it's pretty indefensible, but I'm going to try and defend it in a little bit of a way here. Look, they drafted the most NFL-ready quarterback out of this, and if you're looking at the teams that were high on the draft board, the Falcons had fewer holes than the mass majority of them. They could look at this pick as a luxury pick. Now, what would I have done? I would have taken Adunze. I would have given another weapon there, but at least they picked a quarterback where you have Cousins coming off an Achilles with an injury. If everything goes poorly for them, if there's some medical issue with Cousins, Penix Jr. can plug in and win this division for them. He's good enough to be able to do that. So I don't hate the pick in that sense. I don't really understand why you decided to pay Cousins and then take Penix at eight. Like, you could have just not paid Cousins, take Penix at eight and fix the defense with the money.
That's the problem. The problem is if you're going to take Penix, then you didn't, then there was no need to spend $100 million on Cousins. That is the fundamental problem here, because what you said with paying Cousins is we are in this to win today. He's a late 30s quarterback in which, you know, you've got three or four good years with him. So you're in win now mode, and you took the only position that you could draft with that pick that does not help you win today, because Mike, you can only play one quarterback at a time. They could have taken a running back, and at least you can say you can put two running backs out there. You can put Bijan and somebody else out there. You can't play two quarterbacks at once. This is the worst pick of my lifetime. I'm being certain this is the worst top 10 pick of my lifetime, because you have a team that could easily, like you said, go out and win this division, maybe even compete for a championship. So you take someone that helps you do that. You don't take someone who's going to sit the bench. It, like you said, it's a good thing if they sit the bench for 4 years.
You gotta wonder. For me, the first thing came up is Cousins healthy. That was the number one thing I thought of, because that to me is the really the only justifiable way that you end up picking Penix here. You gotta wonder what they saw. What changed their mind? Because when you paid Cousins, you could not have possibly thought you were going to take Penix at 8. So something must have happened in this process that they got overwhelmed by him. The problem with this Cousins thing is, like, you can't even really move on from him. If you want to trade Cousins after 2 years, it's going to be really hard to do so, because he'll be 37, still have a bunch of money on that contract. I agree with you. You got to go for the win now. I think the Bo Nix pick was worse than this one, though, because that was not a luxury pick for the Broncos. They don't have a plethora of first round picks available to them. That roster has more holes than a piece of Swiss cheese, and you're reaching for a quarterback that now the next 5 to 10 years of your franchise, if Bo Nix isn't good, the Broncos aren't good for the next 5 to 10 years. And that is, to me, a huge problem with taking him at 12 when you have so many different holes.
Yeah, I mean, but you have to have a quarterback. I mean, you have to play with the quarterback. I mean, it's, you could say you don't like Bo Nix as a player, but they had to have a quarterback, and so they took a quarterback that can step in day one and play, and he's going to. I mean, but we're going to find out real quick whether Bo Nix is any good or not, because he's going to start from day one there in Denver, unlike this pick with Michael Penix, where, again, you can only play one quarterback at a time, and the dude's likely to sit. You cannot assume injury on your team, and so this guy's going to sit for however many years. I will say this, though, the Eagles go in, and you and I think we talked about this since the end of the Super Bowl, in which we kind of felt like the Eagles were getting disrespected. The odds that were attached to the Eagles weren't all that great, and people, I think, were just kind of looking at what they saw at the end of the season, forgetting what they saw at the beginning of the season. The Eagles go in, get two of the three best corners in the draft with their first two picks, Mike, and what was their big problem last year? They couldn't cover. They couldn't cover me and you. They couldn't cover you when you were on your crutches with your Achilles injury. And they go in and get two of the three best corners, address their real position of need. They extend their wide receivers. It's just a good franchise. It's just a good organization. It's run very, very well. They go in. They had a glaring need. They go in. They take care of the glaring need. I think this Eagles team is set up for success for a while.
Of course they are. We talked about that. They have the best front office in football. They do a great job of retooling, and they're going to be willing to retool during the season as well. We've seen them be active in the trade market, the free agency market during the regular season. They're going to make moves. It's astonishing to me how quickly people forgot they were 11-1 before that brutal stretch. They're not going to have that brutal stretch. They get to play a second place schedule instead of a first place schedule this upcoming year. I actually bet Kansas City versus the Eagles Super Bowl at 35-1 after the first round, because I'm like, you know what? They might be the best team in the NFC when all is said and done, and when we get through this entire period, because they are addressing all of their needs. By the way, so did Detroit. I thought Detroit had a great draft here as well, moving up and being able to get, I think Terrion Arnold's the best cornerback in this draft. He's a physical cornerback, can play man-to-man, sets the edge, plays the run well. He's a perfect fit for that Detroit Lions team. And the beneficiaries of the craziness that happened at the top of this draft were all of the best teams in the NFL who just sat back there and got to fill their need with the best or second best player at their position of need because of all the nuts stuff that happened early here with these quarterbacks.
Yeah, you take a look in that NFC East, the Eagles, despite all of their success last year and what they've done so far in the draft, still not your favorite to win that division. That is the Cowboys at plus 125, Eagles plus 135. Your third shot in that is the Washington Commanders at plus 750. And Mike, they're not going to win next year. But what I will say, through the first three rounds of this draft, you have a Washington team that has at least built themselves a nucleus. They've at least built themselves a core. You go in and you look and you see Jaden Daniels is now your quarterback of the future. You get a defensive tackle in Newton. You get a slot corner. You get a tight end. You get an offensive guard. You get a slot receiver. They go in and what the Commanders have done is set themselves up for, again, not next year, I don't think. It's a little bit too soon, but a couple of years from now, you've got a really, really good nucleus to build around. I thought that they really crushed the draft so far.
Yeah, it's going to come down to how good Jaden Daniels is, obviously. I mean, that's the key to any of these franchises. How good is that quarterback that you're taking at the top of the draft? But what they have him surrounded by, I think, is exceptional. When you look through the list of quarterbacks that were drafted this year, four of the six in the first round have a legitimate shot to succeed. And we won't know for Penix for a while here, but really, the only two bad landing spots were New England and Denver just because of the lack of talent around them. The other four franchises are set up for these quarterbacks to play well.
Yeah, I'm pretty impressed with what Washington has done so far. And if you're a Washington fan, it's one of those things where you kind of look at this and you say, all right, look, we can't guarantee success. We know that, Mike. Like, I mean, some of these quarterbacks just can't cut it in the NFL, but you have to at least like the position that your front office puts you in right there. So I would be pretty happy if I was a Commanders fan in all of this. Now, you mentioned the NFC North, Lions plus 150, Packers plus 210, Bears plus 265, and then the Vikings sitting there at 10-1. Vikings do get their guy in J.J. McCarthy. Didn't have to, we said, hey, they should call, Vikings should call these teams bluff. Guess what? They did. They still get the guy they want in J.J. McCarthy, and McCarthy is stepping into a very, very good situation. Now, whether he is an NFL quarterback or not, we'll find out. But when you're throwing to Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison, and you've got Hockenson there at tight end, and I mean, this is about as good a situation as you can step into.
It really is. And the NFC North crushed the first round of this draft. I mean, when you look at it, the Bears end up with Caleb Williams and Adunze, an elite wide receiver and the best quarterback in the draft. Minnesota gets their guy in McCarthy. Oh, by the way, also gets Dallas Turner at 17, who is arguably the best defensive player in this draft. Detroit Lions end up with Terrion Arnold, and the Packers get an athletic tackle who probably switches to the inside and fits their run game perfectly. The NFC North, one day one.
Yeah, it is just, you look at some of these teams and you wonder, how do they do so good, and some of these teams do so badly at this? How are they so bad at this? We had a bunch of those. NBA playoffs. When we come back.
This is The Handle with Matt Brown and Mike Sumage on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is The Handle here on VSIN DraftKings Network. Matt Brown, Mike Sumage coming to you. Just gave you our rant on some of the stuff that happened with the NFL draft. Go back and rewatch that. We'll probably have other rants throughout the course of the day with things that are going on. I mean, listen, I thought probably more teams did good than bad, but it was certainly a couple of different teams that are head scratchers. But we are going into the NBA playoffs today in about 40 minutes, Mike. We have a tip-off between the Cavs and the Magic. Magic are 2.5-point favorites at home. 201.5 is your total. If you think the Cavs win outright, plus 120. We talked about this a little bit in the first segment. You and I both were previewing this series, kind of saying, like, you know what, look, if the Magic can make this thing dirty, if they can make this thing kind of a rock fight, you even had your rock that you showed everybody that this is going to be a series that we kind of lean towards the Magic, then the Cavs come out and just absolutely torch them. And we're like, oh, well, that's interesting. That went the opposite way of what we thought was going to happen here. Now the Magic do get a game back. And like you said, the defense is kind of still been there for them, maybe not as locked down as we thought heading into this, but the defense has kind of still been there. They do get an offensive explosion we don't expect we're going to see again today, though.
No. I mean, they put up 121 in game three. That's not normal for this Magic team. Shot 35% from three. Also not normal for this Magic team. They're closer to 30% generally. But if you look at the defense, look, they gave up 97, 96, 83. They haven't given up 100 points yet in this series heading into game four. As long as they're not giving up 100, they have a legitimate shot. Ben Carroll, I thought, played a lot better in game three than what we saw in game one or game two. He's having to do a lot of it by himself. Interesting transition as well. They move Isaac back to the bench for game three. We saw that pay some dividends, cutting his minutes down to 16 minutes. But he goes out and hits a couple threes for this Magic team as well. I like this Magic team at home. It feels like that they're young. they're feeding off that energy. I think they play well again today. I'm willing to lay the 2, 2.5 with the Magic today. Lean toward the under as well. I think that this is one of those games where we'll see if anyone can get a game on the road. It just doesn't feel like Cleveland's going to be able to win in Orlando. Sure doesn't feel like Orlando's going to be able to win in Cleveland after those first two, but I would still lean toward the Magic winning this series because I still think that they have the opportunity to just catch Cleveland in one bad offensive game and be able to beat them in Cleveland, whereas I think Cleveland's going to be hard-pressed to beat the Magic in Orlando.
Yeah, I went ahead and played the under in this. I know 201.5 is a very, very low total in the NBA, but Mike, you just mentioned it. You're looking at 97-96 in the wins there for the Cavs, and then 83 in the loss. And even with the offensive explosion that we got from the Magic that we don't think we're going to get again, that's still only 204 points in that game, right? And so if everything kind of normalizes, which again, I think that it will, I think we get another one of these kind of, as you were talking about, rock fight games, right? Where it's a team struggling to break 100, whether that team is the Magic or whether that team is the Cavs. I think both of these teams kind of play right in that high 90s-ish type of range. And so even at 201.5, I'm going to come in on the under and think that we're going to get a solid defensive performance from the Magic like we have in the first three games without them going absolutely crazy shooting the ball. So give me the under 201.5.
Yeah, I don't mind it at all. This is one of those series we talked about how it was going to be unders, especially as the series went along. First game was now opened at 207.5. Second reopened at 203.5. So we saw that total go down. I don't mind 201.5. I think that this is a good opportunity to be able to play the unders. I like the second half under quite a bit here, Matt. I think that this is going to be a close game, and I kind of expect we're going to get the first close game in the series. Both of these teams are going to tighten up in the second half defensively and going to play a little tighter offensively as well. So I'm going to wait till the second half to bet the unders, especially if this game's close.
But you are going to play the Magic, though.
I did lay the two of the Magic this morning. I still like this Magic team more than I like the Cavs team. I do think the home court advantage for them makes a big difference, especially with this younger team, especially first time in the playoffs in a while. It's going to be rocking there again in Orlando, and I think this younger team responds to it well.
Again, that coming to you here in about 40 minutes. So if you do want to get in, has moved to half point, 2.5 there for the Magic, 201.5 on the total. If you do like the money line, plus 120 there on the Cavs. Our second game of the day, the Thunder and the Pelicans. That is currently Thunder, 1.5-point road favorites there over the Pelicans. 209.5 is our total, plus 105 if you think the Pelicans win this thing outright. Pelicans have played okay. I mean, you know, it's been a bad situation without Zion being out there. That is one of the things where you look at this Pelicans team and under the radar, you had a really good season out of Zion. I know everyone was just expecting him to come in and take over the league. That just wasn't the case, but he's just been a solid player now that he's gotten healthy. But with him out there, not out there, it's a completely different Pelicans team. This Thunder squad obviously looks really, really good at times. Mike, there are times in which you're watching this Thunder team, and you kind of go, I don't know if they're quite there yet. You kind of see what they have, and maybe next year this Thunder team is the team that we're talking about in the same light as the Celtics or something. But there are spurts where I'm watching this Thunder squad, and I do question whether they're quite there.
Yeah, it feels like they're one or two players away from being able to really compete for an NBA title, take on a team like Denver inside their own conference, take on a team like Boston in the East. So I don't love their odds of being able to actually win the title. I think they are able to get past the Pelicans here. I didn't play this game. I would lean toward Oklahoma City. Look, Valanciunas was your leading scorer for the Pelicans in game two. That's a big problem. He cannot be your leading scorer if you want to try and beat this OKC team. And Oklahoma City was able to get some balanced scoring from everyone, really. I mean, we saw Shea put up 32. But you also had 26 from Holmgren. You had 21 from Williams. If they're able to have balanced scoring like that in New Orleans, it's going to be very difficult for New Orleans to be able to beat them without Zion, who's a huge loss. Look, the way that they were able to play offense when Zion was playing at point completely changed how anyone could play them defensively, because you have shooters around him and you're able to go inside to Valanciunas and play the post game. And that was really the advantage here, is that you had a size advantage over this Oklahoma City team. Without Zion, that size advantage just not as noticeable. I mean, you have Valanciunas, but after that, there's not that much on the inside for the Pelicans. So the loss of Zion was huge for them here in this series. Again, I'd lean the Thunder. I think the Thunder probably win this in five. If you want to go for the exact correct score, that's plus 185 right now. Essentially, they split these two games and then they close it out at home. But it's not one that made my betting card today.
Celtics and the Heat. The Celtics are 9-point road favorites. 204 now is the total. If you think the Heat pull the upset, plus 340. This one already a loser for me, as I had the Celtics in a sweep. And man, that was just a very odd game. I mean, you're going to lose a lot of games where a team shoots 54% from three. I mean, that's just going to be, you're not going to win too many NBA games when the other team shoots 54% from three. Here they are, 9-point, though, road favorites over the Heat.
Yeah, I mean, like, how can you possibly think they're going to be able to replicate that? This isn't even a good three-point shooting Heat team, and yet somehow they shoot 54% in Boston to be able to knock off the Celtics in game two. Pretty frustrating ones, considering I have under 5.5 losses for the Celts to get through the Eastern Conference. Didn't really think I was going to be giving up one toward Miami at home in round one. But we'll see how the Celtics team rebounds. I'm surprised the Celtics are the favorite to win the title. We'll talk about that in the next segment. Sitting at plus 110 right now, especially after you see a performance like that. Look, you got to expect you're going to get a lot from the Celtics here. But I'm not willing to bet on that because I don't trust this Celtics team because you have performances like that game too. I am willing to bet on the under here. I think we saw a correction a little bit toward the over. We're seeing the tick up a little bit here to 204. I'll take the under 204 in this spot. Look, Miami's not shooting 54% again. Boston's going to play a lot better defense than what we saw last game. They're going to be a lot more aggressive getting out to the three-point line. And Miami wants to turn this into a rock fight. They want a low-scoring game. The reason this thing went over last time was they hit all those threes. I like the under quite a bit here, 204.
Final game of the day, Nuggets and the Lakers. Nuggets are 3.5-point road favorites, 218 the total. If you think the Lakers win this thing, plus 136 on the money line. Mike, we probably could figure out how to bet this game if we called a couple of the very nice resorts in Cabo or Cancun or whatever and see if there's a lot of reservations have been made for their penthouses and things, because I imagine it's a 1-2-3 Cabo here, 1-2-3 Cancun for the Lakers. Look, they fought. They're just not good enough. I mean, you can't really look at this Lakers squad, I think, and if you're being fair and say that they haven't shown up or that they played terribly, they're just outmanned by this Nuggets team.
Well, that's the bottom line, right? You look at the game one and game two. In game one, you get a phenomenal first half from LeBron. You get 32-14 from Anthony Davis, and you lose by 10 points. Game two, you come out and you get the best D'Angelo Russell performance in the playoffs in history. He goes 6-for-7 in the first half from three. You're up 20 in the third quarter. And you lose. If you can't win those two games, you're not winning any game in this series. I like Denver minus the 3.5. I haven't played it. I find it hard to believe we're going to see the Lakers be able to get back up for this game after those two brutal losses, then losing game three at home when you had a lead in the first half again. Denver is just, they're inevitable. You just cannot get them to take consistent bad shots in these games. And when it comes down to it, and you've got Jokic and you've got Murray playing a two-man game, you've got Gordon on the cuts, you've got Michael Porter Jr. steps up. They're just too much for this Lakers team.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned that game in which they blew the 20-point lead. That was a little bit of coaching malpractice. They were trying to almost go about it in the NFL way, Mike, of protecting the lead, but you can't do in basketball, which is like just play super slow and try to play possession and stuff, because it doesn't balance out like it does in football. Like, it's still hard to score in football. Like, I mean, yes, you can bleed the clock and it's like still hard to get the ball into the end zone. Whereas like they were just bleeding it down, missing shots, and then they'd go down and score in 5 seconds, and they'd bleed it down again, miss a shot, and then the Nuggets would go down and score in 5 seconds. So you can't just bleed the clock and expect that that's going to hold up. And sure enough, they blow the 20-point lead.
Yeah, you get a couple more possessions in a basketball game than you do a football game, so you can score a little bit quicker.
It is so wild. I'm sitting here watching going, when are they going to change this? Oh, they're not going to change the strategy. Okay, they're just going to lose this game. Let's talk to NBA championship odds when we come back.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
This is Colin Cowherd from The Herd with Colin Cowherd. Angie's List is now Angie, the nation's largest home service marketplace. They're here to help homeowners get all their jobs done well. Angie has helped over 150 million homeowners care for their homes. Whatever your home project, big, small, indoor, outdoor, come to Angie to connect with and hire skilled pros to get the job done well.
Listen, I've got a couple of things in the bathroom in my house. Got to get it fixed. I don't have time, and I'm not good at it. Angie is.
In just a few taps in the Angie app or clicks on the site, you can have Angie tackle your home service projects start to finish. With over 200,000 pros in their network, Angie makes it easy to research, compare, and hire pros to ensure a job done well. With 29 years of experience combined with new digital tools to simplify the process, Angie makes completing home projects really easy. Renters, you can use Angie too for moving, installations, or cleaning. Angie can even help with extremely specific projects. Just tell them what you need, and Angie will find the right solution for you. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com. Or download the app today.
This is The Handle with Matt Brown and Mike Sumage on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We got a lot of sports going on, and if you do not have a DraftKings Sportsbook account quite yet, we got a deal for you. Go in, make a deposit, use the promo code VSIN, V-S-I-N. You're going to bet $5, and when you do, we are going to give you $200 instantly in bonus bets. Easy as that. Go in, download the DraftKings Sportsbook app, use promo code VSIN when you make that deposit, bet $5. We're going to give you $200 instantly in bonus bets. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. Matt Brown, Mike Somich here on a Saturday. There is a golf tournament going on. We will not talk much about it. It is a funky format team event down in New Orleans. And Mike, it's a very hard event to handicap. It's a very hard event to bet because you don't really know how much these guys are really taking it seriously, whether they just kind of want to go party in New Orleans, whether they just want to hang out with their buddy and play some golf and whatever. I mean, there are real rankings points involved with this. There actually is real money. Like each winner gets like $1.3 million. So there are some things here worth playing for. But as you can see, you start to look at the top of this leaderboard and it's some teams that maybe you've never even heard of. And that just kind of the nature of this event.
I got to say, first for me in golf, I was scrolling through Twitter and I saw a highlight. Someone shanks it off the tee. I think it was on 9. The ball bounces once and the fan just grabs it, just catches it off the bounce. And then maybe 2 seconds later, realize like, oh, wait, this isn't baseball. I don't get to keep the foul ball. He drops it back down on the ground. Kind of a microcosm of what this golf tournament is. Like you said, it's hard to handicap these things. And honestly, if I'm in New Orleans and I'm playing golf with a buddy, yeah, I'm having a good time down there.
Yeah. Yeah, I imagine that was going on a lot after coming off of the Masters, coming off of an elevated event. I bet some of those guys were kind of like, let's go down there. We'll play. Yeah, we're in the tournament. You know, we'll see what's going on. News coming through here from Shams. Milwaukee Bucks star Damian Lillard has suffered a strained Achilles and is in a walking boot. There is serious doubt over his availability for Game 4 versus the Pacers. That is ungood if you are a Bucks fan.
That is very, very bad. It's good for my Pacers -1.5 in this series. So not completely against hearing that news. I would look at Pacers in 5, Pacers in 6, see what plus money you can get on the series to react to that, because I do think that the Pacers win game 4 at home without him. And it could be a tall task without Lillard or Giannis in game 5 as well for the Bucks.
Yeah, I have an East ticket on the Pacers that I made way back at the trade, way back before the trade deadline. I don't think it's going to cash, but it is, be interesting to have. At least if they can get to the finals, I can monetize it. So let's go Pacers when it's all said and done here. Celtics are your +135 favorite to win it all. Nuggets +210, Thunder all the way out to 12, Mavs at 13, Timberwolves at 14, Knicks at 16, everybody else 30 or longer. Talking about that Bucks squad that looks like they're going to be without Lillard all the way out at 45-1 here, Mike. Celtics were the best team all year long. That being said, you're wondering about this +135 price on them.
Yeah, I mean, look, would they be the favorite if the Western Conference wasn't so much better than the East? I think that's a legitimate question to ask here. Denver's the best team I've seen in the playoffs. Denver was the best team last year in the playoffs. Denver has the most complete roster. I played some Denver +225 over the week or during the week. I still think plus 210 is a good price because I do think they should be favored in this spot. I did add a little bit Denver over Boston in the finals. So an exact result, especially an exacta here. And that's at plus 425 right now. I think we have two clear teams that are the best in each conference. And if you look at the odds to win the conference, Boston minus 190 right now, Denver minus 125. I think Denver would be favored in that series if the two of them played. So I do think there's some value here if you do want to kind of go a little chalky, because I realize plus 210, not a huge value. But at the same time, I think Denver should be favored over Boston at this point from what we've seen. It's really just the West is better than the East. And because of that, you're seeing Denver at a bigger price than the Celtics.
If we look at some of these long shots and, you know, can we make a case for any of these longer shot teams? Sixers at 30, Bucks at 45, Clippers at 45, Cavs at 55, Pacers at 80, and then you get to the Heat and the Suns and the Lakers, Magic, and Pelicans. Is there a case to be made for any of these longer shots?
I think the one case you could make is the Mavs sitting there at 12-1. We've saw them increase their, at the trade deadline, they may make moves, it moved up significantly, both from a rebounding and defensive perspective in the second half, top five in the NBA in both those categories. That was where they were lacking heading into the trade deadline. It's where they struggled last year in the playoffs. You've got Luka and Kyrie, two of the best shot makers in the NBA. You know they're going to get good shots at the end of shot clocks, end of quarters, end of games, a very good clutch team as well. But when you look at it, like when they do match up against Denver, which you would assume is going to happen here, are they really going to be able to take care of business against them with the inside? I mean, we've seen Gafford struggle against Zubac in this series. What happens when that's Jokic? To me, there's just no answer for Jokic in the West, and that's why it's so hard to get around Denver. But if I was going to take anybody, Mavs 12-1 would be the team I took. Timberwolves have looked good against the Suns, but I think that's more the Suns than it is the Timberwolves. I got no interest in anybody else in the East. I don't see who is going to be able to knock off Boston in the East, so I can't get to a long shot in that conference.
As an aside here, I was texting with Kelly Bidlin of VSiN, Gil Alexander of VSiN yesterday when the game was on, and we were just kind of going back and forth saying, like, man, if Kyrie had not lost his mind for 3 years and just kind of went off the reservation, he is so incredibly good, Mike. He's so talented. He might could have been one of the all-timers. I mean, seriously, you look at what he is able to do on a basketball court. It is absolutely phenomenal, but he'll never get looked at that way. He'll never get talked about in that circle because of those kind of 3 years where he just disappeared. But man, that guy is so ridiculously talented at every single thing in basketball.
Yeah, his time in Boston really jaded his reputation overall. And then obviously what happened at the Nets, that was not great. You got to give credit to the Mavericks, though. They took a chance on him, and he's happy. He's happy playing basketball. We haven't had one of those moments with Kyrie, one of those press conferences in almost a full year and a half now since he got down to Dallas. And we're seeing the Kyrie that we saw in Cleveland, the one that can get to the basket against anybody. Again, the shot making just phenomenal. You go back to that game winner he hit against Denver with the lefty sky hook. He can make any type of shot, and it's what makes him so dangerous. He finishes so well around the rim. And when you add him to Luka, it makes this Dallas team capable of beating anybody if they're able to get the defense specifically on the inside.
Over in the NHL, not really at all like the NBA. We have a bunch of different teams that we could look at here and probably make fairly strong cases for. Hurricanes are plus 380 to win it all. Panthers plus 450. Oilers plus 650. Rangers are 7-1. Avalanche 7.5. Knights 8. Bruins 11. Canucks 18. Stars 25. Jets are 30. Everybody else longer than that, Mike. I think if we talk to 10 different NHL experts and told them to make a case for any of those kind of top 7-8 teams, they would be able to do it pretty easily.
Yeah, the only team I wouldn't bet that's in the top 7 or 8, it would be the Oilers. Plus 650, to me, that's a little bit too short. They were the favorite at plus 700 for a while during the end of the regular season. Still too many holes on the defensive side, still goaltending issues. But you look at that, I mean, look, McDavid and Dreisaitl can be the great equalizer in any of these, and they can step up and play at an elite level in any game. So it's hard to even really knock the Oilers there at plus 650. Hurricanes have looked phenomenal. The Panthers look like they're going to get through. They're up 3-0 on the Lightning right now. We'll talk about that game a little bit bit later coming up too. They're at +450. I think that's a pretty good price on the Panthers. You got the Bruins sitting there at 11-1. That's a great price on the Bruins. They're up 2-1 right now in the Maple Leafs in a key game for today. To me, the Stars, even at 25-1, if they can find a way to get around the Golden Knights, they're going to be one of the favorites going into the second round here to be able to win the cup. So a lot of good value still left on this board. I'm still rolling with my Predators 40-1 ticket. You get them 50-1 right now. They're going to have a big game four. They need to win at home, even that series up at 2-2. But right now, the NHL playoffs, just like every year, absolutely wide open. You can make a case for pretty much any team that is still alive in these series to be able to lift the cup.
Yeah, you mentioned the Golden Knights, who go and steal two games on the road over in Dallas, 2-0 as they come back home to Vegas. And this is a Golden Knights team, Mike, that didn't really play healthy for a lot of the season and then got healthy heading into the playoffs and are now performing like the team that everyone kind of thought heading into the season.
Yeah, Mark Stone playing phenomenal for them. He came back in game one of this series. He's already got a goal there, got a power play goal right off the bat in game one. And this is a Dallas Stars team who's just been very good, but they've been able to solve Ottinger, and they've had success on special teams. It's been a huge key for this Golden Knights team through these first two games. Dallas has to find a way to stay out of the box and play their style of hockey. Right now, they're playing the Golden Knights style, and the Golden Knights are taking advantage of it. And now you got to go into a really tough building. If you've not been to a game in Vegas, that T-Mobile Center is a phenomenal experience. It's going to be rocking tonight, and Dallas is in sitting in a must-win situation here after having a phenomenal regular season against a team that really they are better than, but they've got to make sure they play their brand of hockey, and they've not been able to dictate the style in this series at all.
So we have Falcons GM Terry Fontenot just took to the microphone in an interview with Reese Davis and said, we have our quarterback for now, and we have our quarterback for the future. So we're very excited. Cool. Glad you are. You could have your wide receiver room looking ridiculous right now with Drake London and Rome Odunze. But instead, yeah, you got your quarterback for the future 3-4 years from now.
Could have added whatever edge you wanted to. They kind of need a pass rush.
Good news, bad news when we come back here on The Handle.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.